Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, welcome. This is Jeremy. I am speaking on my 9th episode, which I think I am very proud of. I would like to welcome all of my listeners to my show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for some of the feedback I've been getting from some of you. It's been amazing. As always, I'm going to start this video by saying, Black man, let's speak to each other. Like, share, subscribe, comment, criticize. It is all welcome. And today's show will dwell primarily on some individual research I did as far as finding my history. I want to give out that call-in number, but I do have a caller. I don't have to give it out this week. My caller will be calling in about 10, 11 minutes. So until then, let's chat. I would like for you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. You know, I'm on social media sometimes. Most of the time I'm not, because unless I'm sharing a video or sharing a radio show, I kind of don't use it. I'm always busy doing something else. So you can like me. You can find me on those social media platforms. I would like to once again thank the people who listen to this show, because getting feedback from you is awesome. I didn't think people really wanted to hear what I had to say, but now that I know that people are listening, I have to be careful about what I say. Anyway, like I said on my Facebook post that I made 15 minutes ago, I was doing some research, and because I'm curious about my history and who I am and what I am, and that led me to, you know, as anybody does, you Google things. Well, that led me to picture of this guy. I think I want to spell his name out, because if you're listening, I want you to Google it. It's in Isaiah 37:9. Now, for those who know me, know that I'm not a religious guy. I don't really, you know, I'm kind of on the lesser side of religion being important in my life. I'll put it that way. But this struck me as something important that I should share. Now, the name is spelled T-A-H-A-R-Q-A, right? That sounds like something you would hear today. That's a name that you would hear today. So I want people who heard that. I think it's Taharqua. I'm not sure how the pronunciation goes. But I want people to Google the picture of this guy, because he's mentioned in Isaiah 37:9. And I'm not going to say the verse. I want to see how many people. As a matter of fact, if you're listening, once you see the verse, or once you hear the verse, or, you know, however you may listen to the Bible, I don't know. But go Google that and find his name. And then I want you to Google a picture of this guy and see what you – tell me what you see. You can make a post about it. I'd love to read that from somebody I don't know that they made a post about something I asked them to Google. But – that was something very interesting that I learned about my history. You know, I started to get a little bit more curious, and I started digging into, you know, basic search engines just for stuff. 33 dynasties were in Egypt. 33 dynasties. That's a whole history we aren't taught about in school ever, unless you go to college and choose to major in something like that. I mean, we're not ever really told about that. 33 dynasties, some of my real history that I don't know is traced back to those dynasties. That's empowered. You know, countries go in and they take over and they destroy everything and they keep whatever, you know, spoils they have. That's why we have museums around the world, like statues of things that people have conquered. And by the way, serial killers do something like that too. Like serial killers, they'll keep a trophy of one of their victims. But that may be a little bit on the deep end. Anyway, I also stated that I have a caller, and we're going to give him a few more minutes. I hope he's ready to talk, because I'm really anxious to speak to this individual. He stated that he had the call-in number, so I'm hoping that he has the call-in number. Anyway, back to the dynasties of Egypt. Egypt has 33 dynasties that I was never taught about in school. Individual dynasties in ancient Egypt apparently didn't last that long. So, you know, I think I read that out of 31 dynasties spanning nearly 3,000 years, the longest was like the 18th. It was like 250 years. That's crazy to think about. But once again, I didn't know it. You know, the dynasty of Pharaoh King Tut. I always have tried to pronounce that word. I've always tried to pronounce that word. And, I just King Tut like everybody else. But that was like in the year 1549 BC when that dynasty started. Like, there was a whole nother side of the BC coin that nobody's ever taught. Only thing I'm taught about my history is Columbus discovered America, slavery, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Martin Luther King. They don't really teach Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, football players. That's what I'm taught. Is that fair? Shouldn't I know more about myself than just that? Right? I think that anybody seeking knowledge would ask themselves that. You know, and speaking of seeking knowledge, I'm reading this book that I received from the Greenwood Library, and it's called, one of the books, it's called Everyone is African, How Science Explodes the Myth of Race, and it's by a guy named Daniel J. Fairbanks. And I'm curious. I haven't started. I started another one, but I'll talk about that one later. That one's on reserve right now. I'll talk about that one later. But how everyone is African, and it delves into the geographic, you know, distribution of skin pigmentation, which is a very interesting way of saying is dealing with the people who are light and the people who are dark. I have never been able to understand what's the distinction, but, you know, some people have nothing better to do with their lives. Anyway, Isaiah 37:9, 33 dynasties. Speaking of 33 dynasties of Egypt, I'm going to say this. I'm thinking about doing 33 dynasties, one every week until I work my way up to modern times, because I think that in the process of doing this, I will learn a lot about myself that I wasn't taught, and I can share some knowledge with some other males of African origin that may or may not be informed about who they are. Please Google Isaiah 37:9. The guy's name is spelled T-A-H-A-R-Q-A. It is in the Bible, and I think it's gonna be pleasantly surprising to some people. And I think I was very shocked that it's not mentioned in more churches, more sermons. Like I said, I'm not a religious guy. I think next week I'm gonna come with the second dynasty of Egypt. The first dynasty of Egypt is not really, there aren't really that many detailed records of that. So, you know, and some people conflict on it. Just know that the first dynasty existed in like 3100 B.C., like, or 3218 B.C. to like 3035 B.C. That's a long time. That's a lot of history. I'll give myself a clap on that. As always, for my first time listeners, if you would like to talk on the show next week or the week after, you can send me a message on Facebook, and I'm going to give out that call-in number just because I want to read it out. I should have given it out in the beginning, 347-994-3320. And most of the time I'm going to be doing this on Thursdays. Tuesdays are a train wreck to do radio. They are. It's just not for me personally, it's a train wreck because it just doesn't work out. I'll have it planned, and then I'll come on the Blog Talk Radio, and Blog Talk has me on at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Told myself, you get free because that's what you're paying for. You're paying for free radio. So you really can't complain. You got to do better, you know, get some more listeners. I do have a statement that I want to read right quick. My caller will be calling in about 2 minutes. The statement, oh, I don't see color. I mentioned that before. And here's a little truth I've come to. This is my own opinion. Opinions expressed on this radio station are mine and mine only. So take it with a grain of salt. That is just this one guy's opinion. You either choose not to see my color or you are a liar, because we all see color. It cannot be both. It cannot be both. And I think that thinking that way about it, you know, you either choose to ignore my, you don't see my experience if you don't see my color, right? And that's what I said last time. So you're either choosing to ignore it or you're a liar, because we all see color. You can't be both. I want to invite everyone here on Thursdays, like my caller who is now calling in. I have known him his whole life. I have known him all of his life. I used to change his diapers. He's getting married on September 21st. I want to get that plug out. I would like to welcome my brother, Barry Stone. Say hey to the people.
Hey, people.
All right, now, hey brothers, hey, how do we do? Do we know each other?
Yes, we do.
Okay, now I want you to tell my listeners who don't know who you are, who may be listening for the first time, I want you to tell them a little bit about yourself and get over with the crowd, man.
Well, my name is Barry Strong, and I'm a firefighter. I'm also a volunteer, and I'm getting married September 21st. Congratulations, by the way. But
You happy? There, I gave you a hand clap. I don't have many sound effects on this free platform, just saying. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're a volunteer firefighter. What else?
I graduated from Greenwood High School, and I predominantly, you know, live in the area now, and I'm currently a career firefighter in South Greenville.
Wow, that's impressive, man. I'm gonna have to give you a theme song or something. When you like, it takes. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them, I was like, it takes guts to run into a building and try to save somebody. I don't think I have guts like that. You know, like, I don't think I could just run head first into a building and not knowing who in it and save them. So for that, I have to applaud my brother on that. So anyway, what would you like to discuss today, sir?
Well, for the people that don't know, I did work in the prisons and jail system for a while before I became a career firefighter. So that I would like to talk about what's going on now in current events and previous events since my experience while working in the jail.
All right. Your experience working in the jail. Can you tell us one of those experiences so we can kind of get a feel for what it is you're shooting for?
Well, I'm trying to... what I witness in the jail, the right things and the wrong things, I witness more of a wrong than right thing in the prison system or the jail system anyway, and where the laws are that probably hinder or provoke somebody to lash out or try to discourage them and try to keep them where they are in life.
Okay. Instead of rehabilitate, it's about what? Punishment? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's about keeping people down that's in jail, if it's a private prison, if it's more of a money issue than taking care and rehabilitating. You just want to keep them in there and just have that revolving door of inmates coming in and out of jail. And once you, it always says once you're in the system, you're in the system forever. You can't get out. No matter what crime you did,
is that true? Like,
It is true, because you can come in for weed charge, and for one time, you spend one night in jail and get out, and that be on your record for the rest of your life.
That's people making mistakes. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You don't believe that is just or fair that somebody is punished forever for one mistake that they may have made for whatever reason, right? That's what you kind of say. You don't think that punishment should follow them.
Yeah, correct. I don't believe that you shouldn't keep people down for the rest of life for that one mistake they made, because I believe that people can change. You just got to give them the opportunity to change.
And you think that applies to everybody that goes to jail?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that is good in everybody. It's just, while I worked in there, I showed people respect. People, if you respect them, they respect you. They like officers that do their job. They don't like officers that half do their job and or don't do their job at all. They don't like that. They like officers that do their job and do what they're supposed to do, and treat them with respect while doing it. That's how you build a rapport or a common ground with the people that's in jail.
Do you feel like, so you stated earlier that you feel like to a certain point that it's different. Like, what would you, it's a disparity between people. And I think you stated that earlier, like you think that it's levels to it. So what do you mean by that? What did you mean by, I felt like you was kind of trying to say it's different for some, but not for all.
Yeah, it's different for some than not. It's more of a predominantly black or African descendant.
We don't say that word. Not on this show. Not on this show. We're in episode 9. We don't say that word. I'm sorry. I wish I still had my boo sound effect, but I had to delete it to put the clap one back on here. Anyway, we don't use that. No. Okay. Let's try again.
It's different from people that's African descendants. It's different for them going to jail, because it's been happening for a long time, especially in America. It's been happening for a long time that black people have been done by law enforcement and the jail and prison system. The first chain gang was predominantly black. Don't get me wrong, there's white people in there too, but it's predominantly African descendants that's in jail, and they try to keep them down while they're in jail. And then when they get out of jail, they be on probation or some kind of hold on them where they can't, if they mess up, they got to go right back in jail. You shouldn't, if they done their time, they shouldn't be held outside of time to, if they mess up, that's not rehabilitating the people. You're rehabilitating why they in there, so they won't go out and do it again.
No, see, if they actually rehabilitated people like they said they was, you wouldn't have a recidivism rate as high as it is in the males of African origin, part of this country or demographic or however you want to say it. If you really were in the business of rehabilitating people to put them back into society, then you would not continue to deny them, I don't know, the right to vote once they left. Oh, that one right there is going on YouTube. That will be on the Negro Sports League tonight. All right. Do you agree with that? Yes or no?
I do agree with that. I believe I don't believe they really rehabilitate the people that's in there. They don't. I think majority of the people that come to jail are your age and a little bit into 17, 18 years old. And they start when they like in juvenile jail. I think the earliest age that I seen somebody go to jail in South Carolina was 12,
Damn.
And all he did, and he had to stay in juvenile until he was 18. Then the charge carried over to an adult.
Wow. That was in South Carolina?
I think that happened years ago, though, like before I was born. But
that shit could happen now. It, with the flick of a pen, they could all put us back in, you know. I won't go there. That's not what this episode's about. But with a flick of the pen, that shit could happen. There's my one curse word for today. Yeah. All right. Well, I do appreciate in this viewpoint, because coming from somebody who's actually worked in like the corrections department of, you know, like the Department of Corrections, it's interesting to hear somebody that's worked there say that they don't believe that the justice system is fair. Because if you my brother, so I'm not going to put too much out there, but you did work there for an extended period of time. So I think that you have a broader view of the picture than I do, because you've seen the system at work from the inside. And it's crazy that you don't hear more people speaking out on that.
Yeah, because I think they're more of afraid of what they're going to do instead of just doing what's right. I believe in doing what is right. I believe in doing what's right and what's right to people and what makes me feel better of doing the right thing.
Okay, I can dig that. I mean, you always have been, like, your whole life is kind of, the fact that you are a career firefighter now speaks to the credibility and the character of what you are as a person, because not everybody can run in a building and save just a stranger if their house is on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody has that built into them like that. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, we got people like you. If something ever happened at my house, I'm calling you. I'm not calling. I'm not calling 911 first. I'll call them second. I need the dude I've seen put out a fire come and help me right now. You know, like, that's so that go. And the fact that you work in the correction system and you actually have sympathy for people who get locked up, and not just, like you said, not just people like you, people that aren't like you, people that you see come in for small, simple charges like marijuana, or come in for what, child support. That could be one of those things that they come in for, and then 10 months later you see them right back in again.
Yeah. It's like I had discussion with one inmate that came in for child support, and his baby mama had moved away, and he still lived here. He still got charges. He still got child support charges, and they wouldn't let him see the kid at all. So it's the reason. Then why I have to pay child support if I can't even see my kids?
Amen, it's like, to that. I wanna amen, because that, not that child support should be the only reason you get to see your kid, but I feel like that if you do your financial part that they make you do when you sign that paperwork, and this coming from a cat doing it, once you sign that paperwork and you pay, you do have a right to see your child. That's kind of isn't that what the money is the exchange for? I pay you this money to financially support this child. Can you please let me see this child? I'm blessed to be in a wonderful situation where I don't have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to worry about that. I see Rosalind whenever I want to. Shout out to Rosalind, even though you really don't plug me, listen to me, or share my videos. Shout out to Rosalind. I love you anyway. But I'm blessed to be in a fortunate situation where that's never been an issue between us like that. But I do believe that if you get to pay child support and you take care of it and you're doing your part, who is the state to say you can't see your kid? When I signed the paperwork, that paper said that, or something to that effect. The system got us all by the tail, and we down here arguing with each other. They don't – we down here – getting mad at each other, and the system just sitting back counting the money and keeping the time. I don't understand it. But My hope is that things change. What would you like to see done as far as the correction system and correcting what's wrong currently to help people, you know, rehabilitate?
The thing about the thing I would like to see change is, one, for one, make the officers more aware of what the job field they're getting into. I believe, yeah, they see it on TV, but sometimes TV don't do the things justice. And you have to see it for yourself. But I wish they would train officers better to do their job and how, because all jail is, while you work there, all jail is, it's like a people person. It is, if you want to go out on the road, I know it is in Greenwood, but if you want to go out on the road, you have to work the jail. And if you work the jail, you better relationships with the people in the community that you work in. If you came from the jail to the road, somebody that's fresh, that's like 21, that just turned 21 years old and haven't been in the jail or haven't worked in the jail, and he wants to be a police officer, he's going to get out of the academy, have one frame of mind towards anybody else. And this is the majority of the police officers have one frame of mind when they get out. And that's the way that's how they're gonna be the rest of their career, unless something changed. But I've seen officers come in that has never worked in jail because they're not a people person, get them riled up, all for them to walk out and leave us with the inmate angry and mad and cussing and fussing and all that. And I did not like that, for one, because I have to deal with that. And two, I would like to see changes for the inmates have better access to law books. What I'm saying is, a lot of the jails in South Carolina the ones that I've been to doesn't have a lot of law books. It doesn't have a lot of law information. And I believe that before you get to prison, you should study the charges that you own. You should study them while you're in jail working up your case, so you can have a better familiarity what the judge is saying towards your case, rather than just going in there sitting around and causing chaos or not. And when you get up there, you don't have a word what the judge is saying.
I got you. You don't have to pay somebody to save your life. You can save your own life, so to speak. You ain't got to put your life in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, and I told somebody this the other day, that all the lawyers really want to do is build up a reputation. They seek out money to build up a reputation, to better themselves, so they can get better people and better clients to speak for them. The reputation, I'm not saying, some lawyers, yes, they do their job, but a majority of them will say, okay, give me $5,000, $10,000, and I see what I can do with this case. And then you won't hear back from them for 2 or 3 months. Or when you call back to back saying, can I speak to you? He's on vacation right now. He'll be back next week. Or he just send straight to voicemail. I don't like those types of lawyers
we're going to have to continue this conversation next week. I'm still learning how to time out my show. I would like to thank my guest for calling in this week. I have about 60 seconds left, so I'm going to thank him. Thank you, brother. We can definitely continue this discussion next week. I would like to thank all of my listeners for listening to my show. I'm going to close the show on another theme song tonight. I've been Jeremy Speaks. He's been my brother. I would like to thank you for listening. Everybody have a good day. Peace. Attack, this is time for warfare. Yo, we came to battle. Yo, we Gorilla Tactics.